This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sherrod Cutton, with me, Brian Fernandez and Kusu Chuang. With the top business stories of the day, we begin looking further afield from our shores. We'll look at Facebook. Facebook has beat expectations for its second quarter earnings, reporting a $9.32 billion in revenue in a conference call on Wednesday. That was yesterday. Sales growth was driven by mobile advertising, which generates some 87% of the company's total advertising revenue, an increase of some 84%. Brian, what else do we have or do we know of these numbers, and what lies behind them?
So let me just qualify this. This are just Q2 numbers. Revenue, $9.3 billion. Profit, $3.9 billion. So these are absolutely staggering numbers. So the profits are up really something in the region of 45% from a year ago. Their monthly active users are now at 2 billion. Daily active users are 1.3 billion. And to put it in its perspective, Facebook now, for the first time in its history, earns more profits than Google. So overall, their stock is now at $165, up 44% this year. So these are absolutely staggering numbers.
Incredible. Strong. And I guess the other big thing to note is also they have beaten consensus estimates, because the market had expected 1.98 billion users on a monthly basis. They beat that at 2.01. They also beat revenue expectations of 9.2 billion with 9.32 billion. So, I mean, on all measures, it's quite scary, because even every, you know, on a daily basis, there's basically 20% of the global population on Facebook on a daily basis. That's scary. It's also scary and exhilarating at the same time.
Now, one of the things which also is quite fascinating is 3 years ago, their revenue was all on web ads. They've just moved
now. Today it's 87% on mobile advertising. And Instagram has weighed in as well. It's scary, because they bought Instagram, yeah? So it's like amazing.
So that was a deft move on their part.
I guess so. DEFT, not DEF, but yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah,
just in case confusion, so there's no Zuck doesn't get offended. Do you know what I mean?
And also the other thing that's happening, which is interesting from a trend perspective, again, they seem to be moving ahead of the curve. Video advertising business has also been driving their revenues over the last few quarters. So again, back to the fact that revenues are increasing at a very rapid rate. And however, they did caution, the CFO, David Weiner, reaffirmed that while they are growing, they would be growing at a slower rate in the second half of 2017 in terms of guidance.
That's what CEOs do, right? Or that's what management does. They always guide lower. And then when they beat on the upside, I guess it's kind of like a strategic move for them to dial down expectations.
Okay, moving on. We also had news yesterday that Petrobras announced that it's pulling out of its multi-billion ringgit LNG project in Canada. Today, we have some reactions both locally and from international investors and stakeholders. Brian?
Now, according to Wire reports quoted in the Starbiz today, Petroleum National Berhad, so Petronas, will incur an impairment loss of around Canadian 632 million or 2.1 billion ringgit following the decision to abort that 36 billion Canadian project. However, it won't affect profitability. It will affect profitability, but not their cash flow, and no significant impact on the capex itself. The figure quoted is then lower than some estimates, including M Investment, which quoted estimates as high as impairments of 20 billion ringgit. Now, how did they come up with this figure and extrapolate that? Well, it's basically from Japan Petroleum Corporation's, or JPEC's, loss of 102 million Canadian associated with that project. So they basically extrapolated those costs.
Well, there's always a cost, because when you announce something 3-4 years ago and it's something to the order of $27 billion, if you consider and you turn around and you turn back that investment, there's always going to be cost. But I guess the larger question is really what's next. Will Petronas put that $27 billion back to work in Malaysia in, you know, proposed or speculated LNG plants, or will they just, you know, keep that money abroad for purely offshore investments?
The question is, does Petronas continue in Canada? Does it have a long-term Canadian Canadian strategy?
Yes, well, because they invested in Progress Oil first before this particular oil field itself. So essentially, they're in Canada for the long haul. But against this backdrop, however, Petronas is not the only company that's been exiting out of projects in Canada. You've got people like ConocoPhillips, you've got Shell, who've also sold assets to local domestic players because they are pulling out of Canada in that sense. So again, it's back to economics. Prices have fallen dramatically. They've relooked at all these projects.
I mean, to what extent was this the problem and stem from how the Canadian government conducted itself? Is there some blame to be put? I know that we talked about external conditions, we talked about the price of crude and stuff, but is the Canadian government also partly responsible for the debacle in this project?
Well, not really debacle. I mean, there's multiple reasons for this about turn for Petronas. For example, there was a new change in the provincial government. There's also adherence to environmental issues. Of course, when you have a huge $27 billion LNG plant, there's going to be huge environmental impacts in terms of the pipelines going to be laid, in terms of the digging that's going to happen. And, money is one side, but the environment is the other. And also, you've got to consider the fact that when this project was announced 3-4 years ago, the prices of gas was something like $18 per MMBTU. Today, that has shrunk to one third of that, to about $5.35. So it doesn't really make economic sense for Petronas to be putting this much money to work in a country which is realistically halfway around the world. So I guess on a confluence of factors, Petronas decided to dial back those that investment.
You know, on the surface of it, it seems like a very prudent choice for Petronas to do that. But local Canadian reaction obviously is split. On one hand, you have the environmentalists who are doing cartwheels because the project's been shelved.
Correct.
But Canadian business people's reaction, and they've called it a tragedy.
Because there's going to be jobs created, there's going to be investment in the region.
Absolutely. They've called it anti-business, and they've blamed their own government as being unproductive and unsupportive of commercial projects like this.
Now, moving from Canada to China, according to the second finance minister, that's Sri Johari Abdul Ghani, Malaysia risks from Chinese investments here are contained as long as the government continues to deal with state-owned enterprises from the Republic. Chuang, what do we know of this?
Well, you see, the thing is, the amount of business that we do in Malaysia with China has really multiplied over the last few years. A decade ago, our biggest trading partners were the Americans, and I think 8-9 years ago, that ratio switched to China. And now I think China accounts for something like 15% of total trade internationally that Malaysia does. Last November, the Prime Minister went to China, inked 144 billion ringgit worth of deals with Chinese enterprises, which is all well and good. But when you consider the fact that the Chinese government itself is A, dialing back foreign investment due to debt issues, and B, there's also this whole concern about this balloon of debt, this huge wave of debt that's been incurred by Chinese SOEs. At this point in time, I just want to raise the fact that in a few minutes' time, 8:05 precisely, we're going to be talking to Country Garden's representative in China for the Forest City project off the coast of Johor Bahru. Now, you know, the thing is, this is a project that's going to be worth something like 450 billion ringgit in GDP over the next 20-25 years. It is a 4 man-made islands, something like 2,000 acres. It's massive. It's hugely ambitious, but in terms of the fact that we're doing business, so much business with China, should we be concerned? And of course, the second finance minister, Joe Ghani, is saying, no, we shouldn't.
Well, the thing is I think we should, because if you look at the recent Dalian Wanda story and the pullback of Chinese investments globally as a result of this whole emphasis on deleveraging the domestic Chinese economy, that's going to be a problem, because we're making assumptions that this money is going to come in for certain projects. And as you mentioned quite rightly, Chuang, the Prime Minister inked billions and billions of dollars of projects. Now, what happens if the money dries up in the middle of the project? So we have debts that are incurred, financing incurred, interest incurred, projects not ready. So that's a real risk that, he's trying to allay at this point of time.
Well, I mean, word in the street is that, for example, the East Coast Railway, the East Coast Highway, actually, something to the tune of 60, 65 billion ringgit, and the loan costs actually being built into the project cost. We've had the second finance minister, Tun Mahathir, saying that if we sell land to foreign investors and foreign interests, specifically
the former finance
former prime no former prime minister Tan Mahathir, sorry, even though he wants to be back in the fold, but that's a story for another day. You know, that's basically it's capital outflows because you are, you know, you are basically seeing you know, this money being taken abroad.
Okay, we'll be back with more after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.